listeners.
Hello.
Welcome back. Wilkes, how are you doing?
Great. I'm doing great. How are you?
Hanging in there. It's a pretty busy weekend for us since it is. We're recording. Of course, this is going to be posted after the fact, but we're recording during Father's Day weekend, which is actually your husband's first Father's
Day. Yes, it's Lil's first Father's Day. Oh, and he says exciting. That the baby already gave him his present because she says dada.
Yes, that was her quote-unquote first word.
Yeah, so.
How did you feel as the mom?
I know. I knew it was going to be dada.
Yeah.
Most kids, their first word is dada, and it's nothing about, you know, anything else other than it's just an easier sound to make.
Than mama.
Than mama, right? Like, they don't know much about using their lips. They use their tongues a lot more. Mm-hmm. So, it's okay. Mama.
She's just rationalizing it.
Yes, I'm rationalizing it.
Scientific.
Because she's so, I don't know if she knows what she's doing. I mean, obviously she doesn't. Because I'll say, mama, and she'll go, and I go, mama. She goes,
she probably thinks like, that she's saying mama with a D.
So you guys are hearing a third voice that you might not be familiar with. That's actually my sister, Bibi. She is on the podcast for this episode, her first time being a guest.
Yeah. Hi, guys.
So we've had collabs. We've had other people on the show. We've had our cousin Junes, who does the music.
Yeah.
We've had Leo, who's our producer. And then we have our sister Bibi. My sister Bibi.
Yep. Habibi. No. That's what it makes me think of. So that's our day. You came to visit today, and we said, hey, join us because you're fun. And this is a good topic. I think it'll be really nice to have a third perspective in.
Indeed.
Thanks.
Before we jump into the topic, we of course want to do a little rundown.
Of course.
So, Wilkes, what are you super excited about?
I'm super excited for a lot of things, but I'll start this off in order with Golden State won the championships.
They're no KD. They're no longer the underdogs, I think, at this point.
They are the team.
Top dogs.
KD, MVP, we're so happy. We're a big KD, Kevin Durant fans in this house. We love them. We're not mad that he went to Golden State, although a lot of people are, but you know what? Whatever.
Yeah. I know that last week.
For him.
I know that last week we were kind of hoping that they would have taken the sweep.
Yeah.
And they didn't. And we're figuring, like, of course those refs are going to extend it out, but that was only going to be a matter of time because I think the Cavs winning 4 games in a row would have been a bit of a long shot.
And then them winning at home was, like, nice. And so it was nice. It was good. I'm glad it happened the way it did. Mm-hmm. You know. They're the dream team, really.
Mm-hmm.
And so another thing I'm excited about, I'll just throw it in with this, is Jay-Z, my all-time, was inducted into the Songwriters Hall of Fame.
You know what? The sad part is that we haven't heard from Jay-Z in quite some time. I remember that he did do a mini baby cameo in one of the versions of Drake's songs. And it was like... that cannot be gotten. Literally, it was like 2 seconds worth. And Wilkes was like, we haven't heard his voice on a song since, like, Watch the Throne. What's going on?
It's true. Jay-Z, he comes and goes. I mean, he doesn't really need to be here anymore because he is the mega.
Kind of like a standalone, like, without even having to make music, he's still Jay-Z.
Yeah, and, you know, he does kind of... Once in a while, he does the whole... They did a song with DJ Khaled, him and Beyonce.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So he comes in every once in a while and, like, drops the line.
When it comes to, like, an album, it's been quite some time.
Yeah, which is okay. You know, I'm not mad at it because...
It's true, because I will say, you guys know I love Drake, but Drake released 3 albums in about 3 years, and it's being prolific is good. Like, having a lot of quality work is good. But then it starts kind of... And then he did that random one with Future.
Yeah.
And just like... At one point, you're like, okay, let's give it some time so that you can make something really, really good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's that way with Jay-Z. You know, he retired, and then he came back, and then I almost felt like, I'm not mad that Watch the Throne happened. I'm mad that there's not going to be a part 2. Yeah. I don't really think there will be.
Mm-hmm.
But it's nice that but he didn't go to, it's ironic because he doesn't even write his lyrics. You know, he does it all the way off on the top of his head all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'll digress. Anyway, he didn't go to the gala, so people are, you know, conspiracy theorists right away thought, well, okay, that means Beyonce is having the baby soon, or maybe she already had the babies.
The Carter twins.
Yeah, yes. So it's one of those things, which I actually appreciate that they're like...
being secretive about it.
Yeah, because this, I mean, I can't imagine when we had the baby having like other people besides family want to know, right? Mm-hmm. Like,
oh, there's the baby.
She's in here too.
She's one of our
guests. A full house.
She's one of our guest stars. So she's teething, so you're gonna hear her sucking on her little toy over here.
Yeah. I made her ice cream today, which I'm so, like, happy about. I don't know why. I had these popsicle makers, like, in the box stuff, and I got them before she was born. It was, like, a baby shower gift, and I'm like, oh, my God, I can't wait to pop those out. And then I did today. I made her favorite applesauce.
Ooh.
I know, so she has, like, applesauce popsicles.
Oh, that's cool. Oh, that's really good. Okay. And it helps because she is teething, so it cools her down.
She was, like, she was so like, what is this cold thing? Oh, but I like it. Like, her whole face was red because it was so cold.
Aww.
But she really did enjoy it.
Any other rumors for us, folks?
I think, I don't have any. Oh, I have one, but I'll save that one for last. You go.
This is so random, but it looks here like Juvenile, the rapper from our middle school and high school days, is in jail, and it's because he has unpaid child support. Wow. And we're wondering, like, how much? It's $150,000 in child support. So he needs to either pay the amount or spend 30 days in the slammer.
Wow. So if does it balance each other out? Like, if he does the 30 days, he doesn't have to pay? What does that give to the kid?
I know. I don't know if maybe it reduces the amount, and they say, like, only pay 5 years instead of 10 or whatever, but he is... According to the sources, he's grossly behind.
That is...
But is it for multiple kids or just one?
I think
one?
It's just his teenage son. I think he just has one kid.
That's really sad, though. Yeah.
But, I mean, the reason it's $150,000 is because... He's never paid. And then also he makes more than the average man. Or he at some point was making more than the average man. I don't know what...
I don't really know.
How much he makes now?
He's like what we're saying. Like, I haven't heard an album from him in a long time.
He's the very opposite of Jay-Z, who doesn't have to release things.
Yeah, I know. Jay-Z's got mailbox money.
I saw a funny meme, and I love meme. And it was Chamillionaire. He was, like, on the sidelines of one of the championship games. And they're like, how many times did we download his ringtone that he's able to still afford ringside seats?
What song did he even do?
Oh, my God. I have to think. I was confusing him with Chingy. But I
know that name, but I just can't think. Oh, you know someone? I got an alert. That's how ridiculous this is. Mm-hmm. I got an ESPN alert that there was a fan that paid $133,000.
What in the world?
For tickets.
For
to
what?
Go to the game.
Championship?
Yeah.
Chamillionaire is riding dirty.
Oh, they see me rolling.
Yeah, I mean, that's still a good song, though.
It is a good song.
That was and it could my be used junior, for a lot of senior things. Year in high school. And they're like, how many times did we download that dang ringtone? And I said, he's still making money.
Oh, I mean, it's still being used in movies, too. There was recent movie that it was used in. I'm sure he's getting paid for it.
Yeah, that's usually like a funny comedy, like a montage of like a cop
song.
Riding around on the street or something.
It's crazy how those like one hits like really can be your ticket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like if you are not going to be unwise, you just have to release one or two really cool things and then you move on.
Yeah.
I was thinking about Jews the other day because of that rapper. Oh, hey there.
Oh,
okay. The rapper Dej Loaf.
What a weird name. I'm like,
the thing is, Loaf apparently is because she used to wear loafers a lot.
Oh.
I don't know. That's what I heard.
Oh my God. I wouldn't even say, if I say this, Lil's gonna die when he's editing this. And you guys will probably laugh at me too. So there's a Kanye song where he's like a few white girls and some Kelly. Okay, so I used to be like a few white girls with some penny loafers. And he's like, I'm rapping and I'm singing the song. And Lil's like, he says Kelly Rollins. I'm like, no. He says penny loafers.
It's just Kelly Rollins.
Yeah.
Like from Destiny's Child.
I was like, what? Yeah. Oh my God.
Kelly took another L.
I've been singing this song wrong forever.
That's what I was like. I've been saying penny loafers and it's not penny loafers. I'll tell you about my sister.
Oh my God.
Who, Kanye, there's a phrase where he goes, oh, my broads are foreign. Yeah. So my sister thought it was, all her bras are foreign.
Oh, that's 2 chains. That's 2 chains.
So lame.
All my bras are foreign.
All my bras are foreign. I'm like French lace. Like,
my sister used to sing the, I see you whining and dining up on the pole.
And you're whining and dining? I'm like,
oh, that's talent. A lot of talent.
Yeah. She got hungry.
I think I used to say that too, though.
Dinner doesn't wait for nobody.
I was like, what?
I know that my friends in Nicaragua, they're missionaries, and that song with, I'm too hot. Hot damn. So her young daughter understood hot pants. So then they started singing hot pants.
Oh, my niece says hot dance.
So that way they wouldn't, way she wouldn't curse. And she goes, it's too hot, hot pants. And we're like, oh my gosh, she got That's some hot funny. Pants. Her pants are so hot.
My niece used to say hot dance.
Hot dance. Oh,
Matt. Well, that's pretty close. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What other thing? Also, my news is that Amazon, Big Fish Amazon, woo-hoo. Bought Whole Foods.
Woo-hoo. So what does that mean? So a BB asked here, does it mean that we're going to find Whole Foods on Amazon Prime Pantry? Or what does it truly mean?
I think it means a lot of things. First of all, most people don't know because Whole Foods is a big Northeast. It's in the Northeast back in Jersey. There was a lot of them. Here, I think it's starting to become a thing. They opened one in Winter Park. And there was only ever one in Dr. Phillips area.
Yeah, that one's been there for some time, but it was the only one for a while.
It was the only one for a while. Now there's one in Winter Park. In the city, it's a big thing. So it's an organic store. That came into trouble, I think, maybe even as early as last year. Mm-hmm. Because they were upselling some products and saying they were organic when they weren't. And so they lost a lot of money. Their profits went down. And so right now Amazon got them for a steal, really, $42 a share. So it ends up being, it's billions of dollars acquisition, but it's still, not as much as it would have been maybe 5 years ago, right?
For sure.
Whole Foods was that up there. But so Amazon wants to do this whole cool store called Amazon Go, which is a brick and mortar, and you walk in and there's food on the, it's like a regular supermarket, but you can pick things up. You scan in with an app, and you pick things out of the shelves, and you take things out of the fridge, and you put it in your bag, and you just walk out, and it'll tell you, it'll just charge your Amazon account, which I think is awesome. But, I mean, obviously, there's a lot of questions, right?
Like, yeah.
Because even right now, in self-checkout, like, you go to Target or something, there's self-checkout. You almost always need someone to fix something, right? Because the thing is always like, oh, place it on the, if you don't put it in the bag right away, they think you're stealing it or something. Mm-hmm. Who knows,
Or you have to, verify if, have a cashier check for you.
Yeah. So, I'm like, does that mean that the Amazon Go is going to just be completely void of people? Like,
it really shouldn't be, because part of what makes Whole Foods what it is they do have the live foods, the fresh live foods, what the heck, the fresh foods that you eat, you can purchase made. And then they also have, you can go to their pharmacy and you can get, consultation for natural products. And you can, walk around and ask questions. I remember that I had a cold. And I got some sort of medicine there. And I went around. I was like, okay, what do I get for this and that? So they have people that walk you around. So that is part of what the appeal of Whole Foods is. And I would like to think that that's not going to go away. Yeah. Because then it really means that there's going to be less jobs for people if this starts catching on.
But also my other thing is that one of the things, obviously, self-checkout, like you mentioned, you have to weigh if you're going to be doing, things by the pound. So how is that going to work? Are you going to weigh it there and it's automatically, is the app going to recognize?
The video, maybe we'll link it in our blog post. There's a video, of the Amazon Go, the projection of how the store's going to work. To me, the video looks like it's just prepackaged foods. More like I say, if it ever came to Orlando, which I would be awesome, if it was downtown, right? And it'd be where a lot of people go for lunch and pick up a salad and a juice, and then you walk out, And
you don't have to wait in line. It's a fast.
Yeah, it's fast. It's quick. You don't want to have to waste your whole lunch hour there. You just walk in, grab a salad, come back out, and it'll charge you $8, whatever, right? So I think for now, the Seattle pop up is going to be the first one in Seattle, Washington, where I think
of course Washington gets everything.
Yeah, I think that's actually where the headquarters of Whole Foods is.
And to be clear, it's not like self-checkout where you're putting your card. It's all attached to your app. Yeah. You need the app to get into the store.
Scan in,
and then when you just walk out, you don't even go to a checking thing. You take your bag, you put everything in the bag, and you walk out. And then I guess either proximity or the fact that you've left the building charges you for the item.
Yeah. So there's like, the video is really cool. It shows you like when you walk out of the turnstiles, there's like a sensor and like it'll like tell how much stuff you have. I guess each product has a sensor. It's like has to do with a lot of algorithms. Who knows? Like,
yeah. It's going to be a really nifty, but I do wonder with fresh foods how it's going to be counted that way. Like, is everything going to be pre-measured and then you have to take it that way? Like
you know what I do think? Only take
half pounds at a time. Yeah, that's,
maybe it's not for like the full supermarket. Maybe it's going to be like how you mentioned, like a deli type of thing.
Definitely. In the video, it definitely just looks like a really like quick and go, store. Grab and go kind of thing. But I think eventually when it does go big time, I'm sure they'll keep at least a couple people in each department maybe. But it'd definitely be awesome to just be able to go. And because I know I've sent Lil really quick to just get milk at the supermarket. And he comes back like 30 minutes later. And I'm like, you literally just had to get milk. And he's like, yeah, but people are, you know, impatient. They don't let me go in front because I only have one thing. They want to go to even like the 10 items or less thing.
People have whatever.
People have the full 10 thing, you know. So it'd be cool to just be able to just grab milk and walk out, you know, and just get charged on the way home.
Yeah, for sure. It's going to be, it's not going to, I don't think it's going to put a lot of places out of business, but, because it's going to be more expensive than other stores.
Yes.
But, comparable stores who do not keep up with that kind of, comparably priced stores who do not keep up with that kind of convenience.
Yeah.
People pay for convenience.
Definitely.
And I think that in the next 5-10 years, similar to like how they have like, oh, you go order your stuff online, your groceries online, and we'll pick them up. Yeah. Then everyone wants to one up, and now it's like, hey, we'll deliver it to your house.
That's the best.
So within 5-10 years, it's going to be, grocery shopping is going to have as little human interaction as possible, you know?
That, I mean, I was talking to my friends about it too, because we were like, I love my Sundays. I like, last Sunday, I woke up really early, went to the supermarket, and that was like my time alone. And I love food shopping. Like, I go up and down the aisles, like, 2 or 3 times, you know. But some people just really don't like it, especially apartment living. Like, they have to carry all this stuff, you know.
Yeah.
So, when I lived in an apartment and I had groceries delivered, it was the best.
Like, I actually used the Quick Act for Publix, like, the delivery one. I forgot what it's called. Instacart. And it was very convenient. The only thing I didn't like is the person that did deliver for me. Like, they had sales that was buy one, get one free. And I'm guessing they didn't have it available, so I ended up having to pay for 2 small ones so it could equal for a big one of, like, cereal, for example. Or, like, you can put in, like, for example, I like my bananas, and this Benny does, too. Like, yellow with green tips. So I put that as a note, but the girl didn't get it, yellow with green tips. So that's the only thing that is like, you're not really shopping with your preference.
Right.
Yeah, I had a friend who did that, and he ordered a box of Kleenex. I'm like, what is this? And he works with me, so I saw. And I was like, why do you have these tissues? And it was the Frozen characters on his Kleenex at work on his desk. And he's like, listen, I ordered Kleenex from my desk, and they got this one. And I was like, what? Like,
that is so hilarious. They're like free range to just grab whatever they want.
And I'm like, they couldn't give you like a plain blue box. They had to go for the one that was most childlike for a man.
I guess they wouldn't know if it's a man or a woman they're shopping for, right? And
so, yeah.
That's
so
hilarious.
Cool.
That's great.
So that's going to be really exciting, and I guess we'll follow up with you guys if it does come to
And you know, one more thing with Lake Nona and Florida, you know they're getting a fulfillment. So I don't know if you guys ever driven behind the airport. That new building they're building. Have you seen it?
And like for the longest, the SunPass station, right?
No, it's gonna be an Amazon fulfillment.
Oh wow,
that's really cool.
They're bringing Amazon, like a fulfillment factory here.
So that means that we can get the same day delivery pretty easily. I know that there's like places in Orlando you can for only some items.
Yeah.
From remote semi mini warehouses that they have. So that's gonna be
so
cool.
Now we're getting a whole one.
That's gonna be fun.
Yeah. Talking about Amazon, just wanted to throw that in.
we're all primers over here.
Yeah, so we love it.
Yeah.
So,
moving on from the rumors, we did have a pretty interesting topic. I think we've been sitting on this one for some time, so I'm glad that we finally are doing this one. So, I'm not sure if you guys are familiar, the listeners, but, of course, I'm sure you probably are, but personality tests are pretty popular for job placement, for job hiring. You even do this when you're in high school. It's kind of like, what careers would you be good at? Mm-hmm. Things like that. And so we have a one of our cousins' wives, she's a psychologist, or mm-hmm. she majored in psychology. And she, during Christmas time, told us to take this personality test.
Yeah.
And so I took it, and it's really interesting. And we went, if you guys wanted to try it, a free version that you can do, and we're not, like, sponsored by them or anything, but that's just where we went. We went to 16personalities.com, and there are apparently 16 different types of personalities you can be. So people are really familiar with them, with theirs, and they put them on dating apps. They say, oh, I'm an ENFP, I'm a this and that. And I, Wilkes and BB, all took the test.
Yep.
And so we wanted to share with you guys what we are based on this personality test. So, Wilkes, did you want to lead
us? Hey, girl. What's your sign? What's your name? What's your personality type?
Yeah.
I am an ENFJ-T.
I am an ENFP-A/T.
What the heck?
What? A campaigner, essentially, is my personality. So what was your personality, the title?
Wait a minute.
Oh, and does it look different for you?
Yeah.
But the hyphen A and hyphen T, it's just saying that there's two different types of the protagonist of the ENFJ. But she just, Wilkie, you just happen to be the T instead of the A. So you actually are one of the two.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, because
Did you email yourself when you had it? When you took the test?
No.
Mm-mm. Oh, okay. You're the assertive one. I'm the turbulent.
Oh, I see. That's probably what it is.
Well, I am actually INTP hyphen A. So okay. I'm the logician. Yes, very much so.
The introvert?
Yes.
Well, we actually wanted to share, because the really cool thing about these personality tests is that they have different categories. Mm-hmm. So if you want to know your personality at work, your personality when it comes to family relationships, romantic relationships, mm-hmm. and so forth. So we're all going to share a little bit about what we are. And we found it to be pretty accurate, I think.
Yeah.
Funny enough, Wilkes, have you done this before?
Now? I definitely did, probably in high school more so, because I took a psych AP course. I remember faintly doing it. I think I was always an extrovert, even when I did the personality back then, but I couldn't tell you I was a ENFJ, AR, whatever.
Yeah. Have you done this one before?
Not before we did it with, cousin's wife, okay. No.
So when we did it with Mel, that was back around Christmas time, and I was actually, my personality apparently was a debater, mm-hmm. and this time it came up with campaigner, and both times I'd say I was pretty honest. Now, I will say, and people always say this about personality tests, mm-hmm. that based on your mood that day, it could really change your results. Mm-hmm. Like, if you just got off a fight with someone, you're going to come off as a really aggressive kind of person.
The questions that they do are really funny, though.
What was it that you said?
Because I was like, I was reading one, and I'm like, oh my god, this probably means I'm a terrible person. Because it was like, winning a game means more to me than the other person's feelings, and I'm like, strongly agree.
But that's pretty accurate, though. You're very competitive.
So I'm reading this, and I'm just like, ooh, I want to be, you know, good and put disagree, but I'm like, come on, I'm definitely the
You know what's the good thing about those things is that it doesn't send your results to someone, and so your overall personality type doesn't say, it's because you answered that you love winning all, like, the specific questions, you have to be honest with yourself, and they tell you that, like, try not to be mm-hmm. neutral about anything.
Yeah.
Try to be at least partially something, mm-hmm. and be honest. Even if you don't like the answer, don't try to make a personality of yourself.
And one of the things that I think also is important is you have to make sure that the first answer is the answer that you put, because a lot of people overthink it, and they're like, well, maybe sometimes, and it's usually the first answer that you have in your head is true to who you are.
It's mm-hmm. true. Mm-hmm. It's true. It's like I always think of Friends with this episode about Phoebe does the quick fire question.
Oh, yeah. She was like, I don't know why I'm mad at you. Like, okay. Cars or trains? Trains. And so the first thing that you said, it's because you said that my hair looks stupid. And
He's like, what?
Yeah, we were on the frozen lake and Drew Barrymore was there. She was dreaming.
So that, I always think of that.
Yeah, you always want to go for your first response. And at my job, my job is really big on like emotional intelligence and personality and this. And so every couple months they make us do this thing called an E3. And it's just like a series of 100 words. And you just pick words that you think describe you. And some words are really similar. Like they'll say handsome. And then they'll also have sexy. Ooh. And then they'll have good looking, right? And so like based on how you answer. And then they give you like a graph. And it's so scary accurate. But they want you to redo it because really it does have a lot to do with your personal development. Can change certain aspects of your personality. Sure. Mm-hmm. You know, like you're never going to go be a completely different person, but you can be probably, you can probably have like a lack of confidence in certain areas. Mm-hmm. And then after you develop that a year later, it could be that you're very confident in yourself about certain things mm-hmm. based on like what life events have occurred. So I think it's really cool to retake this test every so often mm-hmm. because it'd be interesting to see how we've changed.
Yeah. And mostly...
I was going to say
most of the time would be a good day to do it would be when you're just neutral, that you're not like uber happy mm-hmm. or like super mad. Yeah. It's just, you're just on a regular day and you just had a regular day, nothing too busy. You weren't stressed out. So that way it's more true to who you are at that moment.
I remember the day you guys took that test. It was when we had just finished playing like Heads Up, I think, right?
I think we played Heads Up after that.
And no, it was Red. Or I don't know, maybe. Don't know. We were playing games that day, and I was just like, mm-hmm. it was like already a little tense in the room, and so we were just like, oh, I was like, no, I'm not big.
Yeah, because we are that. Competitive, even if we don't like saying it.
Yeah.
I think all of us are.
I after reading my results, like, I really think I am, it was spot on. But you know what? It always gets me sometimes, because the same thing goes with horoscopes. I'm not a big horoscope reader, mm-hmm. but I do find, like, I know I'm a Virgo. And so when I read Virgo personality traits, I'm like, dang, this is me spot on, right?
That happens with my Libra mm-hmm. personality traits.
But then I'm just like, it's real easy to, when you read your horoscope for the week or whatever, you kind of make it fit your life. Have you found that you do?
Yeah, but you know, I will say I have thought that. And mm-hmm. then I read through like Pisces mm-hmm. or like Aquarius.
And you know someone
else? And I'm like, oh, I'm definitely not this. Mm-hmm. And maybe there is something, you know, psychological about it because I know it's not mine.
Yeah.
But I wonder if we could like do a double blind, right? Where like I hand you and I'm like, all right, so pick which one you think is Virgo based on how close it is. And if it's very accurate to you, then you're like, all right, then you're definitely a Virgo. Yeah.
But then another thing that I always say, and it has to do with, obviously, horoscope would be a good one. I'm an Aquarius, and a lot of things that they say about Aquarius mm-hmm. is that we're, like, really wishy-washy, that, mm-hmm. you know, one day you're just like, woo, and then another day you're
that
like,
that is Vivi.
Yes, I am like
she
that, but not
Vivi's
all.
She pulls when
yes.
You left me waiting for
you. For 3 hours, I'm sorry, okay? I am trying not to be that way.
That is who you are. The stars have made it so.
But then there's another thing, there's other things that it says that I'm aloof, that I'm not really emotional with the people that are really in my inner circle, mm-hmm. and I don't think I'm like that.
No.
So I think there is a thing that is like that nature versus nurture, because you know, a person that myself, I have another person could obviously is born at the same birthday that I am mm-hmm. and they were raised in a completely different environment, they're mm-hmm. going to have a lot of different characteristics sure. versus myself.
Sure.
So
even with this personality test, I would say it was like maybe 85% to 90% correct mm-hmm. and then there were certain aspects that I'm like, eh,
exactly,
because even some of the questions, like there's a lot about books, and I think for you that makes more sense because you're more of a reader than I am, so I like just replaced it with Netflix.
You're like, in Netflix, do you watch?
Do you resonate with the main character?
One question was like, oh, I'd rather read a book than go to a social event. And I was like, House of Cards just got released. I'm going to stay home and watch Netflix. That's what I was doing.
So, okay. So I wanted us to take some time and explain a little bit about our personality.
Okay.
Not super long. So I'll go ahead and lead this one off. I'm, again, the campaigner, ENFP. And it says that we are a true free spirit. We make up 7% of the population. And we are charming, independent, energetic, and compassionate. We are intuitive, so we read between the lines. And rather, unlike analytical personality types, mm-hmm. Who see things through systems and machines, campaigners see things through a prism of emotion, compassion, and mysticism, and are always looking for a deeper meaning. And I would say that's absolutely true in a lot of areas, because someone will say something. I'm like, no, there's a reason why you said it the way you did. There's a reason why your face was like this. And that's where a lot of I base a lot of my conclusions on that. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it comes out to be correct. I don't know, Bibi, you can tell me more.
Yes.
Like, and she even agreed wholeheartedly when I was like, we're compassionate and emotional.
Yes, very much so. Sometimes I'm just like, it's not always about emotion, but then that comes into where my
Aquarius aloofness.
Oh my gosh. I'm not even talking about horoscope anymore. But it's more of like where it comes into mind. And I have the percentages, and I think Wilkes, you have them too, right? So, and because I happened to save the email from when I originally took it. And in my percentages, it's more I'm 52% introverted, 56% intuitive, 56% thinking. So it's more of like, and then the only thing that I would say is definitely out there is assertive. I'm 72% assertive. Okay. So I'm definitely.
So no means no, yes means yes.
And I definitely have to resonate with that. I am, and for the person that says BB, that takes forever, right? Mm-hmm. When it comes with certain things. Now, if it, I have the problem of when I have to think about getting dressed and getting out of my house, because I'm very much of a homebody, that is where my no's are not always no's and my yes's are not always yes's. But when it comes to my work, or if I really just don't like something, I definitely know that that's a no or that that's a yes.
Yeah, but even then you were 50-something, so there's always going to be...
No, I'm 72 assertive.
Oh, so even if you're 72, there's still going to be that 25% where you're not that assertiveness. Mm-hmm. You have something else because of whatever circumstance.
It does give you some leeway with that.
Yeah, no one's ever 100% anything.
No, I don't think so.
So my personality, of course, ENFJ-T, so that makes me a protagonist. And I'm a rare, rare diamond in this world. There's only 2% of the population are protagonists, and they're natural born leaders, full of passion and charisma, which, duh, totally. I take a great deal of pride and joy in showing others to work together and to improve themselves and their community. I don't know about that. Maybe.
Even as she's reading it, I see her eyes squinting at the screen like,
I do try to, you know, get people to work together, I would say. And so I am intuitive, which I definitely think that's true. I do believe through facts and logic, which is definite for me. And so the one thing I will say I don't know, but maybe I guess it's true. It's just the truth comes out, I guess. It's I'm judging, my J means judging, and I'm 77% judgmental.
In certain aspects.
If you guys listen to one of our very few first episodes, we do not like Taylor Swift. And a lot of it comes from provocation. From Wilkie's judgment.
Yeah, she does very much. She did influence a lot of our Taylor Swift disliking, I would say.
It's so funny because I guess I am, and I judge things, and I just know that because I think when I compare myself to Leo, he's more of like, I don't know, he doesn't really think. Like, the way you think, oh, he said it in that way, it must mean something else. I think I'm that way, too. Mm, yeah. I definitely am like, why didn't they do so-and-so? Why do they do it now?
Mm-hmm.
Or,
so
you know.
Mental.
Yeah.
I mean, you both do have a lot of the feelings, so that can make sense. And
yeah. And so I did read that, and I thought that was a good 2% of the population. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
2%.
Like, I'm actually 3% of the population.
I'm 7. There's more of us.
That means you're not original.
That means that we're very popular.
I'm rare.
I like being rare. Okay, I like that.
So let's talk about. Let's talk.
I do like being weird. Actually,
what the profile says our strengths and weaknesses are.
Yes.
Okay. So, again, for the campaigner, let's take a look here. So I have, my strengths are that I am curious. I'm not interested in brooding. I don't hesitate to step out of my comfort zone. I'm observant. So every move and idea is part of something bigger, and we notice a lot of things. Mm-hmm. We're energetic and enthusiastic, really good communicators, and I know how to relax, very popular and friendly. Oh, see, I wasn't wrong there.
You are very popular.
So some of my weaknesses is that I have poor practical skills, apparently. So even though I have exceptional talent, it says follow through on projects without someone to help push day-to-day things along means that my ideas are likely to just remain ideas. It's hard sometimes to focus. I overthink things. Mm-hmm. I can be highly emotional, which in certain circumstances is good and some mm-hmm. of it's bad. So yeah, I would say that a lot of those are things that I have struggled with in the past mm-hmm. and currently. Mm-hmm. And it'd actually be interesting to take some time and compare this to my debater personality result from 6 months ago.
Yeah.
And see if there are any overlaps there. but yeah, I would say those things describe me yeah. pretty like, I very much am very observant mm-hmm. and when it comes down to that being a negative thing is that I do tend to overthink things
sometimes. Yeah, overanalyze that. Mm-hmm. It can be, like, you're too in your head too much, right?
Yeah.
Like it doesn't have to be this epic, you know,
because
theory.
Everything means something, it means everything means something. Like, no, just take things for face value, take it for what it is, mm-hmm. you know? How about you, Wilkes?
So, mine are, or maybe go, Bibi, you go.
Okay. Well, my strengths are is that I'm a great analyst and an abstract thinker. It says I'm imaginative and original, open-minded, enthusiastic, objective, and honest and straightforward. I think, yes.
And straightforward, I would say yes.
Yes. I would say yes, I am. And it says here in the objective part is that we have creativity and open-mindedness. These are great tools for... they aren't tools, I should say, for like ideology or emotional validation. So although I am an emotional person, mm-hmm. obviously it's 50 something percent for that, what it says in the thing. I do have to say I do more think of like, how do I say it?
Like you're an objective thinker
yes,
too.
Yes, so. Basically. But the weaknesses is that I'm very private and withdrawn. Definitely agree. Mm-hmm. I can be insensitive, and that is mm-hmm. insensitivity. I'm very much absent-minded, so I do agree with that. Elizabeth tells me I suffer from this, which is condescending. When in certain ways of that mm-hmm. I address things, if mm-hmm. something gets on, like, if I have to repeat myself over yeah. and over and over, my tone goes from friendly to just like, da-da-da-da-da, mm-hmm. like, do you not get it?
Yeah.
I loathe rules and guidelines and definitely second-guess myself a lot.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. that takes, and that actually impacts how
which
I can
so
do
which is so funny
certain
because
results.
Wasn't your thing assertive?
Yes.
So that's well, so funny that you're
being,
assertive
I wonder
and
if we're defining
guess.
Assertive differently than they do. If mm-hmm. you have the percentages, it usually has a description mm-hmm. for the assertive. Because we're thinking assertive like, this is what I want and this is how I'm going to get it. And there's no going back. But I think even for some things, like even when they put the word intuitive, they defined it differently for the percentages. Did you find yours for the for that one there?
It doesn't say... I'm sorry.
Mine says I'm turbulent. Like, I'm not assertive and I do second guess myself a lot too, which makes sense for my turbulence, mm-hmm. right? Like, I'm like, I don't know. Like,
yeah.
Lil hates when, because I'm like, oh, I'm so bored. Let's do something. And he'll throw out like 30 different ideas, and I'm like, no. Mm-hmm. No. He's like, how are you this picky, but you don't have any ideas? Like, you're not giving me any ideas and you're picky.
I think that's just a girl thing.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I don't know, wherever you want to go, okay, let's get sushi. Oh, gross, no.
Oh,
anything but sushi. Burgers, like, oh, gross, no. Yeah.
But I think in that whole second guessing what you were saying with the assertive, mm-hmm. I would say if, and I think that that's what it was talking about specifically, I think I'm assertive in the things that I am positively sure in.
Okay.
When it comes in second guessing is if I want to challenge myself into something new, mm-hmm. I always second guess myself in the sense of like, can I actually do this?
Yeah.
Am I going like more of like that afraid to fail kind of situation?
Okay. So my strengths are that I'm tolerant. I'm a true.
You're also judgmental apparently. Yeah. So I don't understand.
I'm a true team player and they recognize that that means listening to other people's opinions. Even if they contradict my own. I'm reliable. I don't like to let people down. I think that's true. Charismatic.
Hello.
My personality is like great. charm and popularity are qualities protagonists have in spades.
That means in tons and by tons.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Altruistic. So... I have an unyielding desire to do good in and for the communities, for my community. It says warm and selfless. Genuinely believe that if they can just bring people together, they can do a world of good. I guess, I mean, I like to do good. I mm-hmm. like to help people, which mm-hmm. is true.
But I don't know if that's something that you're like constantly going out of your way to like.
I try to be good. I try to pay it forward a little bit.
Because I remember that you said you had one whole bunch of stuff for the baby, and you're like, oh, I'm just gonna give this to someone because like I'm not gonna really need it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, especially with baby stuff, that's been my like. I love when people ask me for questions because I feel like I have. Tips I just want to give people, you know? Yeah. So, natural leaders, and mm-hmm. so they're more than seeking authority themselves. I end up in leadership roles. That's true.
Yes.
I do think so. I do like to take charge just myself. I think so. So mm-hmm. I think that's right.
Yeah, cool. I mean, one of the things was our cruise. You kind mm-hmm. of like took the charge and kind of planned everything and always looking into doing different activities and helped
kind of ground us.
The word judgment, that's what I'm saying previously about like our definitions. Like when it says judgment, it doesn't mm-hmm. necessarily mean that you're judgmental. Mm-hmm. It could just be that you use your judgment versus mm-hmm. using your feelings when it comes mm-hmm. to making a decision. Because
in the questions, they were very much like, you'd rather just wing it than have a plan. I'm like, heck no, right. I need a plan.
Yeah. So that could be what they mean. So
or you're a good character of judgment.
Yeah. Our definitions of those terms could be what's a little off. It doesn't make you a judgmental person.
Yeah. Right.
Like you tend to judge things before you just jump into a decision, I would say.
Very, okay, yep, I agree with that. So then the weakness of a protagonist is that they're overly idealistic. They are too selfless, which I can see that being a problem. Like, people might take advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Too sensitive, and that's true. I am very sensitive. Like, I'm open to hearing criticism. I don't mind it. But I also there gets to a point where it's like, okay, I'm open to your criticism, but it's like enough, right? Like, that's too much. You know, I do get a little
Like, you're
sad
not just like, okay,
that.
Whatever comes out your mouth, I'm going to take it. You know, you want to take it nicely. Or
and then struggle to make tough decisions. That's true. Like, what we're gonna eat today? I have no idea. Right? No,
it would be awful for me and Wilkes to like have to go to like a store and buy an outfit for $50.
And you're like, I don't know.
What if I change my mind?
It's so awful. I have to go shopping by myself because I'm so indecisive.
Yeah,
it's really bad.
It is. It's really bad. But things like that, because I'm always love makes fun of me because I'll go through the whole store and I have like 30 things in my cart or whatever, and then like as I'm walking around, I'm like. I guess I don't really need this. Mm-hmm. And I start putting it. By the time we're like at the cash register, I have nothing. I'm like,
well, that happened when you and I went shopping for your baby shower at the Dollar Tree. And like, we brought a whole bunch of stuff. And halfway there, she's just like dispersing things randomly around the store.
It was like, it was for goodie bags, like, you know, candles and stuff like that. And I was just like,
you know what? I really don't really.
Do people really need to get this whole gift bag? No.
So hilarious.
Like that. So I do agree with this. I definitely think those are both my strengths and weaknesses too.
So it does say that they do have different things. That if you guys do take your personality test, they have different categories like romance, friendships, parenthood, career paths, workplace. So we each picked one or two that we're going to share. I actually wanted to start specifically with romance and relationships, which
fancy.
This actually, the reason I chose it is because I've been through something similar recently, and it says people with the campaigner personality types, relationships are a joyous process of mutual exploration.
Mm-hmm.
Campaigners have the advantage of irresistible charm when it comes to attracting a partner. Campaigners' mm-hmm. warmth, excitement, and passion are simply alluring.
Mm-hmm.
They shower their new flames with affection. Long-distance relationships apparently are really common because they tend to be very loyal.
Oh, okay.
And they don't think that things that others are like, logically, this won't work.
Mm-hmm.
To people who are campaigners, they're
more... Of course it will.
No, love conquers all, you know.
Love knows no boundary.
Yeah, it says that there's a lot of excitement, occasional neediness, and emotional ups and downs that people sometimes don't always... can't always handle or manage. And they go all in, and even if they fall apart despite their efforts... They feel like that's just how that's how it had to happen.
Okay.
And I would definitely agree with my recent situation where it's like, listen, no regrets, man, all in. And it was just like, it was quite an experience. And this really kind of paints to me why, like, and that's something that I learned, like every experience that you go through teaches you something. And it's just like, you have to do what works for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't go to someone who is more of a logic person and say, no, it has to be a clean break, or you have to say this or that. Whereas my personality just doesn't lend itself to that.
Mm-hmm.
Mine is like, I cannot rest until I have a discussion or get closure or do this or do that, you know? So this kind of opened my eyes to it, which was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
I definitely can resonate when you said that, because obviously my being your sister, I kind of have a little bit more insight information versus what anybody else. And I remember one of the things that I said to you is you can't rely on what other people say, because at the end of the day, you have a personal relationship with that person and your conversations with that person, the way you say it is your perception of it. And you know, that the other person is going to have their own perception.
Like a friend that you're getting advice from and stuff.
Exactly. So it's if you depend on what everybody else is going to say, it's not going to work. And I'm very much, like you said, like myself being a logician, I should say, I'm very much a logical thinker. And to me, I remember telling you, it's just like when you were wanting to get the closure and all of that, I'm like, no, don't do it. Stop. And at the end of the day, I was like, she's going to do it anyway. So yeah, I'm not even annoyed. I'm wasting my time.
I'm a big thing on closure, though. Too.
I think someone
always needs like I'm more of that. To tie it.
Mm-hmm. Like, I break the rule. That's it.
But I need you to know that I'm breaking it off. Like I'm that kind of person too. Like I need the closure, but then I need you to know that I'm just like you're dead to me, like that, right? Like you need to know.
Do you find yourself to be an avoider?
I do avoid. I avoid conflict. I like.
Okay.
I do find that I and like I think I. Like, I'll be the one to, like, white lie a little bit, like, oh, yeah, it looks good on you, but unless I really, really like you and I know you and I'm just like, don't wear that, don't do that. But other ways that I'm just like, I don't really need to hurt their feelings right now, so I'll just say what they want to hear, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, when I say that, it's because I feel like I like to talk things out. And if we get into, when I say we, it's like me and my family, me and my friends, like I'm not one to just be like, you know what, I'm done, and I just walk away. I need to hash things out and find out what's going on, and we need to like talk like adults. And then people who don't do that, like Bibi and I being sisters, like we're opposite in that, and we've had to both learn. Like I've had to learn she needs some space and time to think things through. She doesn't want to just sit here and talk about it with me. But then she's also learned Liz Benny doesn't just move on. She needs to, like, discuss things, and then we'll be finally at a good place.
Leo is very much like that. Like, he needs to, all your feelings, let me know now. And I'm like, ah, no.
I need to assess my feelings first, too, you know?
No, I'm like, word vomit. I just tell everyone everything. Things that I'm like, wow, I probably shouldn't have gone that far. Not that it's mean, it's just that I express, I'm too vulnerable about certain things. And I'm like, oh, I said things I probably wouldn't have said in a different circumstance.
Okay, so now...
What trait did you... What other category did you pick?
Okay, so I picked parents.
Okay.
So I did that just because, you know, my little angel baby here. and I loved it because one of the questions was, would you rather your child grow up to be kind rather than smart?
Ooh, that was a tough one.
And that was tough for me, too. Like I said, kind of agree.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because I want her to be nice, and I think you can be nice and you could be smart too. I don't think you could be one or the other.
Yeah. You can be both, but I think it's just if someone had to describe someone, most often will their trait be that they're kind or smart?
I'd rather it be that they're kind.
Yeah, I went for smart. Because I feel like if you're a smart person, emotional intelligence is still a form of intelligence. And I feel like if you're a smart person, you can analyze situations and know how to react in a circumstance. So you don't have to be this overly nice person, but you can manage your reactions. But then there are times when people are so smart that they're condescending and they're jerks. So, yeah, I wasn't strongly on either one of those.
Yeah, I was, like, in the middle.
Yeah, I was kind of towards the middle. But I did lean towards smart.
I was towards kind.
Okay.
But it says, as natural leaders, protagonists make excellent parents.
You have been a great mama.
Striving to strike a balance between being encouraging and supportive friends to their children. While also working to instill strong values and a sense of personal responsibility. And so, I think it says that the reason why protagonists are good parents is that they are bedrock of empathetic support, and they don't bullheadedly tell people what they ought to do, but just help them, I guess, get to their own reasoning why they should do something. And I think that's true. I'm very much... I tell, you know, we talk to her, and I'm like, whatever you are. And that's why when it says this, like, whatever you are, be a good one, like, in the little quote, I'm like, oh my God, I say that to the baby. Like, you could, she could be whatever, but just be the good. Best at whatever she wants to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I do want her to fulfill her destiny or whatever her calling is. I don't know. I just want her to be a good person.
Yeah.
Aww. So then it was very good that you...
Yeah.
It very much is like you.
Yeah. So I did like this because I was like, okay. Because I think as parents, you always think, I don't know, right? Like, you want to be your kid's friend. But then I'm like, well, I don't want to be your friend because I don't want her to not respect me because I'm her friend, right? Like, I don't know. But I want to be your friend. I want her to be able to come and talk to me.
Yeah, it's a fine balance. It's like everything. You're never 100% everything. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to find time to be a friend and find time. Like, okay, I'm taking off the friend hat. Yeah, I'm putting on the mom, you know? Like, okay. I'm not your friend. Yeah. I'm your parent.
Because I see that. I see where some kids are very much friends with their moms, and it almost feels just like I could never, like,
and how do you speak to her like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She has no say in what you do or don't do. Like, come on.
And then, like, we put in perspective, like, how old we're going to be when she's, like, in high school or whatever. And I'm just like, Leo and I were just like, we're going to be young. So we have to be the cool parents. But we don't want to be the cool parents. Like, I always think of Mean Girls.
I'm a cool mom.
I'm not like the other moms. I'm the cool mom.
And she was using condoms, snacks.
Oh, my gosh.
Bless it.
So like, I don't want to be that kind of mom, you know? But yeah. I do want to be the fun mom. I do want them to be like, oh, let's go to Isla's house. Oh, mm-hmm. Her mom's so great. Like that.
Yeah, like, you take your kids out. You know that they want to do fun things on the weekends. Mm-hmm. But it's not like you're going to sit there twirling your hair and talking about boys with her all day.
Yeah, no.
I mean, I could totally figure your house being the one that all the kids want to go to. Yeah. Because you're the one that's going to be baking cookies and all of these organic muffins.
Yeah,
and
I do a lot of cool stuff. Like, I tell Leo, I'm like, I'm totally going to be the mom that goes to, like, all the parent-teacher conferences. Or, like, volunteers at the bake sale or something.
That's gonna be
like,
fun. That's
be
cute.
The school mom, the class mom.
But that's a good way for where you can be that friend for her, because she knows she can always count on you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I did like that. I did like that.
So what was your category, Rose, that you selected?
Oh, I chose friends, and I definitely resonate with this one because one of my friends, Jessie, always says that about me, that she says that it took a long time for her to actually, for me to open up to her.
Okay.
And she was friends with Liz Benny first, and
that's me.
Yes, Benzie. And sorry, I call you by your real name. But
code names.
So she was friends with Benzy first, right? And then afterwards, she, you know, started getting to know me, and she saw little snippets, I should say, is what she said of my personality. She's like, I want to be your friend. I want to be your friend. And it took a long time. But one of the things...
Be my friend, be please. My friend.
She wasn't begging.
No,
come on.
I'm kidding.
Yeah, but one of the things that it says here is many of the usual motivations for making friends, emotional support, social validation, shared routine, simply don't apply to logicians. More likely, these concepts are met with disdain, as people with logician personality type prize intellectual depth above all else. It is not easy to become good friends with logicians, but if there is a common interest and a common trait of thought, the connection is likely to spark instantly, surprising everyone else who thought they had this distant personality type peg.
So what do you and your friend have in common that started your friendship? Is that true?
I don't remember what it was.
We had Benzie in common.
I mean, definitely it was Benzie, but I think it was just that she just kept insisting. And I was just like, I'm just going to give this girl a try. Mm-hmm. And I would, you know, one day she opened up to me. But I think it had to do, you know what? I actually remember. She had this, like, ex-boyfriend, and she happened to talk to me about it. And she's an emotional type and I'm more, like I said, a logical type. And I was just like, but this doesn't make sense. And then I kind of, like, helped, you know, we were able to talk in not only an emotional, but also like intellectual way. And I think it helped, you know, bringing us closer. But it really does say that we are slow to fall into a friendship. It says logician friendships are knowledge based and defined by exchange of ideas, theories, and concepts. And I'm very much a theorist. another thing that it says at the end, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but when it comes to friendship, it says, I continue to be firm and constant. So the people who I consider to be in my inner circle and are my friends, like my best friend, for example, even if we don't talk forever and we talk again, and I'm sure friendship both of you
knows no time.
Exactly. And I'm sure both of you would agree in this, that even if we'd spend like 2 or 3 months not talking mm-hmm. because life got in the way, especially since she has a kid, she's a mom now, so she needs to worry about her child. And I'm definitely understanding. Yeah. I'm still going to be her friend. I'm still going to be there for her. But it's because she's earned that about, you know, me, and we were able to have, you know, a deep relationship. So it's going to be long.
So, yeah, so now that we've shared at least one trait, just to wrap it up, there is actually a conclusion tab. And so, for in conclusion, I guess, to wrap up our personality types, as a campaigner, it says here, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it says here, few personality types are as creative and charismatic as campaigners. We're known for idealism and enthusiasm. We're good with dealing with unexpected challenges. Yet we can be tripped up in areas where this idealism is often not, is as a liability instead of an asset. And so it says that we need to put in conscious effort to develop our weaker traits and additional skills. And so we can reach dazzling heights on the career ladder.
Dazzling?
While Whoa. We make difficult decisions and stuff like that. So,
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so I thought it was pretty cool because it does kind of give some encouragement regarding, there was another category, and it was like workplace. Mm-hmm. And it was like, nowadays, it's not enough to just be like a number cruncher. Like, you have to understand emotional intelligence with those that you work with. And campaigners have an easier time at that. And I will say at my job, it's definitely served me well. Mm-hmm. So that was the conclusion of mine. And it's really interesting. If you do happen to go to 16 Personalities, there's a way you can pay for like a roadmap.
Oh, and yeah. Stuff like that. The premium results. Yeah.
So I'm like, that'd be pretty cool if you're really into like self-development.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. To kind of understand how your personality trait can assist you in growing those areas.
You know, like, these things, like, I think about it, and I think about high school and how at such an early age, you're supposed to just figure out what you're going to do for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. And I feel like with this, I wish I would have taken this in the... I think it kind of lined up with what I do anyway.
Yeah.
But still, it would have been nice to know, like, I don't know, just feel like, okay, I'm doing the right thing according to this. But then again... You took this test 6 months ago and you got a different result. So I don't know if back then, you know, I probably don't think the same thing I thought.
Yeah, a lot of this personality can be developed because of the job I'm in, because of the friends I chose to be around.
So I wonder how, like, it should be something that it would be cool to see if you would have taken it in high school and taken it in college and taking it now and see, all right, maybe I'm... That's why I think we kind of shape our own lives and then we kind of... make it fit into whatever it is now.
But that also goes with what you were saying. Like, 6 months ago, there were things that happened that you were different 6 months ago. Mm-hmm. But let's just say before Isla, if you would have taken this test versus now, I'm sure it would be a completely different... Yeah. Not completely. I'm sure there's going to be core things that are going to be the same, but it would be slightly different.
Probably.
And you probably wouldn't be the protagonist. You'd probably be another EN something or the other. And it would be the same thing for me,
but
I'm sure.
I will say my other personality test had a different title, but it was still EN. So I was still an extroverted, intuitive person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they're still core of who you are. Mm-hmm. And then slight things change based on life circumstances or even, like I said, the mood that day.
Yeah.
You know?
And one of the things like my job does that I was going to say is this Strengths Finder test that was made by a psychiatrist and my job. And they do like the there's 34 skill sets that somebody has. And like they basically focus on like your top 10 and then they label your top 5. And that also helps, which my job is very much in like, you know, like you said, in that whole strengths and emotional and personality thing. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that they base a lot of the promotions is also on that personality type. Can you actually handle it? And one of the things is like achiever, responsibility, learner, positivity, empathy, etc. So if you need to work in something that is more relationship based, things like, you know, input and empathy are very much needed in that role versus like responsibility and achiever, which is more logical, for example.
So it's just I guess the consensus is just to be honest, right? Because you can very much take this exam and do like go with okay, my instinct to do the whole, oh, it matters to win a game than to argue. My instinct is like, yeah, it matters to win the game. But if I would have been like, dang, I don't want to get like a bad personality, right? Like, I'm gonna say, no, of course the person's feelings matter, right? Yeah. But you have to be honest with yourself and Mm-hmm. And it's okay. That doesn't make me a bad person. I'm not a bad person. I just like to win. Exactly. I mean, who doesn't?
You can have the exact same personality trait as someone else, and they be considered a bad person based on whatever, you know, or vice versa. So it's just, like, that's the key when it comes to, like you said, the consensus is be honest. That's the key when it comes to self-development and taking these kind of personality things is you do not want to do something based on what you think others want you to be, especially if you're like you're doing this at your job and you're wanting to be looked at for a promotion.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's, first of all, I would say it's unfair that they're choosing people based on your personality because then you feel like you have to be that, right?
Yeah, exactly. So like right now, I took this test for fun. We took it for fun, right? Because it doesn't matter. But I can't imagine taking this exam at work and thinking, oh, crap, like, these results are going to be looked at by my boss. Like,
I felt that pressure.
So, of course, you're going to think, like, ooh, I don't know.
What do they want to hear,
I guess
right?
I'm going to be, of course, people's feelings matter more to me, not winning, right? Mm-hmm. But that doesn't, that can, that one question doesn't single you out, right? Like, that one question forms other parts of
a thing. Like, even ultimately, at the like we said earlier, like, that one, your final result is not going to highlight, well, because you answered that you hate people. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not going to, like, they're not going to know that. So, yeah, I think these are actually really fun, and I actually only took this, and this person that I was seeing, they're very big on it to the point where, like, your name on their phone has your personality.
Seriously?
Yeah. And, like, and it was just that they're very big on it. They really put a lot of weight into it. And then we compared our results, and they asked me, like, if I had done that. And I was like, yeah, I actually have an email about it. And so back then, I had the debater. And a lot of the traits are similar. And this person actually was an introvert. And so we saw a lot of differences in us. And we're like, huh, I wonder why, you know, we've struggled with this because of this personality trait mixing with that.
That is very interesting. I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. They really... Wait, like, to me, this doesn't...
Dating, people on dating sites, I'm telling you.
I know that it might follow into an algorithm, right? Like, of this personality type matches well with this personality type, right? But then I also think, I don't know, that's another whole other interesting thing. Because, you know, Match.com, I was talking to Leo about this the other day. I saw a commercial that they have this new feature of, like, missed connections.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So it's like, you, if you're on Match.com and other people around you are on Match.com, and you go to your Starbucks every day, right? Like, your particular Starbucks on the way to work. And so you can now check how many people that also have Match profiles also frequent that Starbucks. Or maybe, in your case, Benzo, I know you like to go to, like, a little, like, kind of... that coffee shop you like to go to in Winter Park that a lot of people don't go to.
Is it Stardust?
Yeah. And so, like, that's a little gem for you, right? Okay, now this other person who is also into finding these out-of-the-way coffee shops, you might have missed the connection with that person, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Even, you know, I always get there at 8:30 and they get there at 8:45.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't think to look up and talk to someone.
So, like, to me, that's cool, but it's also, like, that's weird, right? But
it's a little creepy.
Like, but I didn't choose my Starbucks. It's just because that's near where I work.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's kind of like, wow, imagine if I would have just stopped and thought about and then actually seen this person. I probably could relate
to
them.
Yeah, and but my whole point is that this new feature is taking away from the algorithm of personality types, right? Like, now you can also factor and go back to the old school of meeting people, just meeting people at the bar, or meeting people at the coffee shop.
Isn't that how things are, though? Always. Yeah. It always, to move ahead, you have to look back.
Yeah.
It's always, like, you get inspiration for an innovation of some sort based on old ways of thinking and doing things. And that's something that I'm working on a pretty big work project, and that's called analogous inspiration. Like, you can learn how to have a community buy in to your new product if you start looking at soccer games or Catholic churches on Ash Wednesday and what causes everyone to do something. Like, Ash Wednesday, everybody's walking around with a cross on their forehead. What caused that buy-in?
It's a knife.
You know? or, you try to think about buy-in and community involvement, and you go to a local, you know, football game, and you see all the excitement and that kind of analogous inspiration. I'm all telling you, like, it's such a big part of the workplace currently, and even when it comes to to what you were mentioning as far as, like, the Match.com, things in order to move ahead have to look back.
Yeah.
So it's so crazy how, like, dating has changed a lot, but there are still aspects of it that are just how
that
it used to
just
be.
That is just bare bones. You meet someone at your local
and people
coffee
are like,
shop.
Oh, I met online, and because there were a lot of people you said no
on
to.
On paper,
you know?
And on paper you might match up, right? Like, that's why with these personality things, I don't really put that much weight on it, right? Like, I'm like, all right, cool. But to fall in love, like, you, there's more to a person than your debate. Like, I don't see Benzy, the campaigner. Mm-hmm. I don't see that. Yeah. Like, I see you for the other things that make you who you are, yeah, right? Like, Bibi, you are, like, introverted. But to me, I think that's you, right? Like, I don't think, like, oh, she's such an introvert.
You don't look like Bibi the introvert. It's just, oh, she's not this boisterous, overwhelming person, right. You know?
And so, once I get to know you, I don't think I'm much of an introvert.
No, you're very much like how I think some people should be. How I'm going to, you know, you shouldn't be all like lovey, oh, I love you the first time you meet people, right? Yeah. Like, you got to, you know.
You got to earn my love.
You got to case them out and you say, okay, I like them. All right, maybe I'll give them a try. All right, if you stop begging me, no.
I'm like, yeah, and I'm like, we are now in an official best relationship. Friend. We are going to get married today.
It's like, wait, did we just become best friends?
Are you my best friend?
Like stepbrother?
Yeah.
Awesome. So this,
yeah,
was actually,
no, this was fun.
This was really interesting. And it'd be really cool to see what you guys come up with 6 months to a year from now, if it's the same personality. So if you guys are interested, again, it's 16, the number 16, and then the word personalities.com.
We'll definitely put the link on and comment on our Instagram or on our blog post your personality.
Yeah, let us know if you happen to be a campaigner, a logician, or a
protagonist.
Or if you're introverted, extroverted, if maybe this clashed with other personality tests you've done, how accurate was it? We want to know, because it's really cool to get our perspective, and we'd love to hear yours too.
Yep, yes. Definitely. So we'll see you on our next podcast.
Our next episode. And as always, don't forget to like, rate, review on any platform that you're
on.
Subscribe and tell your friends. Thanks, you guys. We'll be back next week.
Bye.